I will give you assured peace in this place. There are still false prophets today who would tell you there is no judgment day. God will never condemn anyone. Those who preach universal salvation say exactly the same thing as the prophets of Jeremiah's day. They preach peace, peace, when there is no peace. They say that God will never judge sin, but while God will bring judgment upon his rebellious people, while God will judge the living and the dead, that does not mean that God takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. Listen to what the word says to Jeremiah in verse 17. You shall say to them this word, let my eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is shattered with a great wound, with a very grievous blow. The same God who brings judgment against humanity is the same God who became incarnate in humanity so that he might bear the judgment that we deserved. The God who judges is also the God who weeps as Jesus gazes out over the same Jerusalem. And he weeps and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not come. If I go out into the field, behold those pierced by the sword. And if I enter the city, behold the diseases of famine. For both prophet and priest ply their trade throughout the land and have no knowledge. The false prophets and the faithless priests have wreaked havoc on Jerusalem. And you see the fruit of the false teachers throughout Europe and America today. There may not be a famine of bread in Europe and America today, but there is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. In my former congregation, we once had a visitor who said that she appreciated the sermon, but since she was a Baptist, she thought she'd look elsewhere. She came back after visiting every church within a 10-mile radius and said, you're the only one in this area who preaches the Bible. John just had that experience in the port the other day when somebody said, I've been to 27 churches. I can't find a church that preaches the Bible. Has the day really come when prophets and priests have no knowledge, when pastors no longer preach the word of God? Again, the plea of verses 19 to 22 is a good example of confession. This is what we should say as we acknowledge our wickedness, as we acknowledge, we ask, why have you struck us down? What, oh Lord, how long? It's a beautiful lament as they cry out, you are God, and we are not. The reason why you should save us is not because of anything that we have done, but simply for your name's sake. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. This is precisely how Israel was supposed to pray. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. And yet the Lord said to me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn toward this people. Moses and Samuel were famous for their intercession for Israel. Moses was the prophet who gave Israel the law. And then when Israel failed the first time in the days of the judges, Samuel was the prophet who gave Israel their king. In the days of Samuel, God had sent the Ark of the Covenant into exile, and now God will send all his people into exile. I will appoint over them four kinds of destroyers. Notice how in these four destroyers, all creation is not only affected by God's judgment, but now becomes part of God's judgment, because man is only part of it. The sword to kill, but then the dogs to tear, and the birds of the air, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. Creation turned upside down, and you may hear pre-echoes of the book of Revelation when it speaks of the final battle when it's the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth devouring and destroying at the final judgment. And I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, because of what Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. This reminds us of how the wickedness of Jerusalem had been piling up over the generations as the rebellion of God's people got worse and worse. And the result would be that God would make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And verses 5 to 9 explain why. God is weary of relenting. Have you ever been really sick and tired of someone? I mean, fed up and beyond anything you would ever imagine, frustrated. If so, then God has been very kind to you, because He has given you just a slight glimpse into His frustration with you. He made you for Himself. He made you as a garment to be bound close to Himself, as we saw last time. But you are just a filthy rag. You keep loving other things more than you love Him. That is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because so long as God is over here and man is over there, God grows weary of relenting. Because He keeps putting up with us, He keeps letting us get away with it, and nothing ever changes. If we are caught in this cycle of rebellion and repentance, backsliding and judgment forever, then that's forever. She who bore 7 has grown feeble. She has fainted away. Her sun went down while it was yet day. She has been shamed and disgraced. And the rest of them I will give to the sword before their enemies. So what can you do to make God change His mind and have mercy on you? Nothing. All humanity's efforts, nothing. Judgment day is coming. You stand at the edge of the abyss with nowhere to turn, nothing to do. Jerusalem can do nothing. You and I can do nothing. Now by this all overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh Lord our God, how we thank You and praise You for the blood of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You that You sent Jesus to die for us because we could do nothing. Because we were dead in our sins and left to ourselves, we would wind up in the same place as Jerusalem over and over again. Thank You, Lord, for not subjecting us to that over and over again, but for sending Your Son in our flesh to bear our sin, that He might triumph over the powers of sin and death, that the cycles of this age would be finally stopped, because You raised Your Son from the dead and seated Him in glory at Your right hand. Have mercy on us, O God, and grant to us Your grace that we might hear the voice of Jesus as He calls us to come to Him, to receive Him, to believe in Him, and to trust that You will do all that You have promised. Help us, Lord, because we are helpless. We are needy, and we need Your grace day by day. Help us to trust Your promises, to believe in Jesus, the righteous one, who gave Himself for us. Help us, Lord, as we walk before You this week, but in our several callings, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, that we might live as those who walk by faith and not by sight, that we might not be scurrying about trying to busily do everything, but that we might believe Your promises and trust that You will do what You need to do, and that You will use us as Your servants Help us, Lord, to see the glory of Jesus as he is reflected in one another, as we see the grace that you have given to others. Help us to rejoice and be glad and to encourage one another. Help us, Lord, as a people to show forth the love of Christ in the way that we walk and live before the watching world, that they might see the good news in us, not that we are such great people, but that Jesus is such a great Savior. And as we come now to this, your table, we pray that you would strengthen us with the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might humbly walk before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.